Welcome to Brighteon Broadcast News for Tuesday, December 5th, 2023. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. And the working title for this episode is that climate delusions are crumbling as the world rejects the consequences of energy strangulation, chaos, famine, and collapse. And we're going to go through some fascinating news here today on the climate change issue. One headline from the UK Daily Mail, fury as COP28 head. Now, COP28 is the name of the climate summit that's been going on for a while, I think, in Dubai. But the headline says, fury as COP28 head and UAE energy czar Sultan Al Jaber says there is no science to suggest phasing out fossil fuels will limit global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius, and that doing so would, quote, take us back to caves. So remember that the United Arab Emirates is also the country that just ditched the U.S. dollar. And this man, Al Jaber, J-A-B-E-R, I'm not sure exactly how to pronounce his last name, so I'm guessing it's just Jaber. Maybe it's Jaber, I'm not sure. But he's the chief executive of the United Arab Emirates state oil company known as ADNOC. And, of course, since he's part of an oil company, he probably doesn't want to see oil shut down either. Well, oil powers the world's economies, and oil powers agriculture and food production around the world. And so what Jaber is saying here is actually true, that if we were to get rid of fossil fuels right now without having replacements such as hot fusion or cold fusion or much higher density energy storage systems or some kind of similar breakthrough, then it would actually plunge the world into mass famine, destitution, chaos, and collapse, which is what my title refers to today. But you see, and I know that most of you are already aware of this, that's the actual goal. The climate change narrative is a scam. It is a lie. The climate change narrative was put out there to justify global depopulation agendas, just as the COVID narrative was catapulted, the propaganda, into the minds of the people in order to justify getting people to line up and be injected with kill shots, essentially. But the globalists need multiple kill vectors because they can't trick everybody into getting vaccinated. So some people that aren't vaccinated will sign up for the climate change narrative, and they will agree to give up all energy, and then they will find themselves living in a collapsed city or a collapsed nation with no energy. They have no food, no economy, and no future. And that's the globalist plan as well. But let's really delve into the climate change narrative here and reveal the falsehoods upon which it is based. And this is really, really simple. There are three main assumptions of the climate change agenda that are false. Assumption number one, that the burning of fossil fuels is the primary producer of carbon dioxide released across the planet. Right? You've heard that. Well, we have to shut down coal plants, they say, because they're producing most of the CO2. Or we have to stop running combustion engine vehicles because that's producing so much CO2. So this assumption says that essentially human activity through the burning of fossil fuels is producing most of the CO2 on the planet. That's not even close to being true. It's a lie. It's fake science. In fact, most of the CO2 in our atmosphere comes from the respiration of creatures in the oceans. I mean, that's really what produces the most CO2. Not to mention the decomposition of organic matter and forest fires and so on. But it's living creatures in the ocean. It's the aquatic ecosystems where creatures are using oxygen in the water, dissolved oxygen in the ocean, and then emitting carbon dioxide as part of their respiration. This process is called aquatic respiration. And aquatic animals, of course, they have to breathe as well, like fish breathe, and fish breathe in oxygen by running water through their gills, and then they excrete, or they exhale, you could say, carbon dioxide, even though, of course, there's a lot of chemistry that's different doing this in water versus air, but it's fundamentally the same concept. So all the fish in the ocean produce carbon dioxide. And there are a lot more fish in the ocean than there are human beings on planet Earth. It's not even close. And by the way, the total surface area of planet Earth is, of course, mostly covered with water, not land. And so the CO2 produced in the oceans has a far greater impact than does human CO2. All right, delusion number two is that carbon dioxide is bad and causes global warming and is bad for plants and trees and forests. And of course, that's completely absurd. Every botanist knows that plants use carbon dioxide for photosynthesis. In fact, you can look through the scientific literature published on this subject, and you can see that through literally thousands of studies and field tests, scientists know that higher levels of CO2 increase the rate of photosynthesis, which provides more energy to plants. If these plants are food crops, they will produce more food more quickly because they have more cellular energy due to the presence of higher CO2. If these plants are grasses, they will be more successful in growing, and that will allow more greening of planet Earth as we take over more arid regions or desert regions of the planet and convert them into grasslands. And then many grasslands will be able to succeed as forests because, of course, trees need higher levels of CO2 in order to succeed as well. So more CO2 greens the planet, which makes it absurd to think that the way to save the planet is to eliminate CO2. And we've seen many people, even those who claim to be involved in the climate change advocacy, we've seen many people claim that they need to completely eliminate all CO2 from the atmosphere, which would, of course, kill the entire planet. All plants, depending on photosynthesis, would die, and that's most plants. It doesn't include fungi, but it does include almost all the plants that you think of as plants, you know, green plants. The green comes from chlorophyll, and the chlorophyll is involved in photosynthesis. So the way to green the planet is to have higher CO2, not lower CO2. So CO2 isn't bad, it's actually good. One of the best things that you can do to save the planet is to actually produce more CO2. That would help green the planet. And then the other part of this false assumption is the claim that higher levels of CO2 cause global warming. Turns out that all the science on that is fiction. They made it all up, just like they made up the science on the COVID vaccines. It's all complete BS. It turns out that carbon dioxide, as it rises in the atmosphere, it does not cause more warming. It's the other way around. As the planet warms, there's more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So CO2 is a side effect of planetary warming, and the planet warms and cools and warms and cools based almost entirely on solar cycles. It depends on the sun's activity. And don't you find it amazing that almost everyone in the climate cult, they ignore the sun. They completely ignore the sun. And they say that the only factors driving planet Earth and its temperature are human activity, but not solar activity, which is very strange because the sun, of course, is the source of all heat and nearly all energy and certainly all life on Earth. Without the sun, obviously, we would all die very quickly. The planet would be a frozen ice ball. And the amount of solar radiation that strikes the Earth every day is enormous. And the sun goes through cycles. And right now we're headed into a grand solar minimum cycle, which means that solar output will be diminished for many years to come. I've interviewed experts on this. You can find those interviews on Brighteon.com. But it's the sun's activity that is the primary driver of warming or cooling on planet Earth. And then CO2 follows along as a trailing effect, not the causative effect. But of course, the establishment can never say these things because then they couldn't guilt trip you into giving up your energy consumption or transportation or driving a vehicle, which gives you freedom. Instead, they want to lock you down into a prison camp known as a 15-minute city and claim that you're only allowed to travel when they give you permission, because otherwise the planet will be destroyed from all the combustion engines. It's complete nonsense. The entire climate change agenda is a depopulation agenda that's designed to enslave and then exterminate human beings. And it's all false. In fact, let's get to point number three. This is the third assumption. It is that a warmer, wetter planet with more ocean water is somehow bad. I mean, think about it. The climate lunatics, they keep telling you that if the oceans rise a centimeter, then life will end as we know it. Oh my God, they scream about, oh my God, the ocean, it's coming, it's coming. Of course, if you look at the photos of where the ocean level is right now compared to, let's say, 40 or 50 or 60 years ago, it looks exactly the same. The oceans have not inundated the continents, but even if they did rise a little bit, what's so bad about having more water on the planet? I thought that a warmer, wetter planet where we have more rainforests and more growth and more rainfall inland, by the way, which is what we would get if the planet were a little bit warmer, we would have more food, we would have more lush forests, we would have more subtropical and tropical regions that are food producing. We would have longer growing seasons because, of course, it's the freezing winters, especially in Western Europe, that really limit food production there. And if we had more ocean water, that would be more habitat for ocean creatures. I thought we were supposed to support habitat for animals. Well, ocean animals need more ocean. So what's wrong with the water being a little bit higher? Why does anybody think that the current ocean level is the right level? Maybe it's supposed to be, you know, a meter higher, actually. That's not going to end the world. It's actually going to support more ocean life, which would mean, you know, more fishery possibilities, more food from the oceans. The oceans would thrive with more water that's wet, that's liquid, instead of being frozen in ice, obviously. I don't know why climate cultists want Earth to be a frozen ice ball. They love frozen water. They hate liquid water. They do. They tell you this. They talk about how awesome it is to have ice, which plants don't grow in. And ice doesn't support life, you know? And they freak out when ice melts. Oh my gosh, the Arctic ice is melting. They say it's the end of the world. No, that just means it's warming up to become liquid. And liquid water supports life. Liquid water supports oceans. It supports aquatic ecosystems. And again, warmer weather would bring more rainfall inland. And so you would eliminate a lot of crop failures caused by droughts. More rainfall would be good for humanity. It would be good for the planet. Higher CO2 would green the planet. And more ocean water would allow aquatic ecosystems to thrive. So if you look at these three false assumptions, number one, that the burning of fossil fuels is the primary producer of CO2 across the planet. Number two, that CO2 is bad and that it causes global warming and is bad for plants. And number three, that a warmer, wetter planet with more ocean water is also bad. If you look at those three assumptions, each one of them is false. And yet, these are the three base assumptions of the climate cult. They have to get people to believe these three insane things. And I say that believing that CO2 is bad for the planet is just as delusional as believing that men can have babies. And isn't it interesting that the very same people pushing the climate cult agenda tend to be those people that are pushing the LGBT agenda, which is, again, rooted in delusional thinking. But it's all a psyop. It's all brainwashing people. It's all there to try to make you believe something that's completely false while blocking you from understanding what's true. Because what's true is there are only two genders. There's only men and women. And a man can't become a woman. And a man can't have babies. And a woman can't produce sperm by definition. And at the same time, carbon dioxide is a good molecule. It's desperately needed for plant respiration. It's part of the cycle of life. Higher CO2 means more photosynthesis. Higher CO2 means higher food production in the food crops all over the world. Higher CO2 means a greener planet. NASA has satellite photos that have tracked this for decades, and they show that as CO2 is rising now to around, 410 parts per million, that the planet has become increasingly green. The deserts are shrinking. The green is expanding. So why do the climate lunatics hate that outcome? Why are they against plants? If you think about it, they're against CO2, they're opposed to plants, they hate green. So why do they consider themselves to be green at all? They're anti-green. The climate cultists are anti-green. They stand in opposition to plant life and also to human life. But you see, that's the whole point. This agenda is designed to give them an excuse to exterminate human life or make it very difficult to live. And they do that by shutting off the energy. That's the push to shut down fossil fuels and to outlaw coal, by the way. And John Kerry, yeah, our favorite person, John Kerry at the COP28 conference, he demands a global ban on coal plants. He says there should be no coal plants allowed to operate anywhere on the planet. This would be global depopulation of human beings. And it would also harm the environment by reducing the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere that is available to rainforests and grasslands and food crops, by the way. But he's sure that this is the answer. Mass murder. Murder of botanical ecosystems as well as human beings. He says, quote, "I find myself getting more and more militant about climate restrictions." He says, quote, "There shouldn't be any more coal-fired power plants permitted anywhere in the world." That's an exact quote. Not permitted anywhere in the world. He says the reality is that it's killing people around the planet. 8 million people a year of bad air quality and coal pollution, he says. Wow. And reading here from LifeSite News, John Kerry's family previously owned a private jet that it had used to make 48 trips in the first 18 months of the Biden presidency. The plane reportedly had emitted an estimated 325 metric tons of carbon, according to Fox News. So John Kerry says, oh, we have to cut off coal-fired power plants, which means eliminating affordable electricity for people all over the world. But he gets to fly around on a private jet owned by his family, and he can fly around and do anything he wants, but you won't have air conditioning. You won't be able to run a refrigerator because you'll have an energy consumption quota that will basically force you to live in squalor. You won't have energy to do hardly anything at all. And this is the way these elitists always think. Private jets for them, 15-minute city prison camp lockdown for you, you see. That's what the climate change agenda is really all about. It's about enslaving and then exterminating humanity. Now, take note that they are trying to merge the climate agenda with a global health dictatorship. Because the daughter of John Kerry, whose name is Dr. Vanessa Kerry, she's with the WHO. And her title there is the Director General Special Envoy for Climate Change and Health. Yeah, that's a mouthful right there. And John Kerry said, the reality is the climate crisis and health crisis are one in the same. Totally connected, totally converging at this moment in time. And his daughter, Dr. Vanessa Kerry, said that the climate crisis, quote, poses a fundamental threat to global health and urgent action is needed to mitigate and adapt against this complex challenge. So you see what they're doing. They're going to use the WHO and the new World Health Dictatorship Treaty that's been signed with most first world nations to claim that there's a climate crisis requiring human lockdowns. That's what's coming. It's not a COVID lockdown this time. It's a climate lockdown. You're going to be told that you can't fly, you can't drive, you can't use more than a certain allotment of electricity. Air conditioning will be limited. Even your computer usage will be limited. You will have a quota, and it will be very, very tiny. Whereas people like John Kerry, of course, can fly around in private jets all day, or people like Bill Gates. But you'll be put on a starvation diet, and you won't be allowed to use energy for almost anything. Even if you have an electric vehicle, it will have a very strict limit, and you won't be able to drive more than a few miles per day on average, because they will limit how much you're allowed to charge the car. This is one reason why the climate cultists are all about electric vehicles, because they can control the kilowatt hours that you consume to charge them. In this way, they can control your personal freedom. They can lock you down by prohibiting the charging of your vehicle. Whereas if you drive a combustion engine vehicle, which is actually good for the planet because it's releasing CO2 that plants crave. Yes, that's an Idiocracy reference right there. But in a combustion engine vehicle, you can store gasoline or diesel, and you can have essentially almost unlimited range to go where you want to go. In an electric vehicle, you're a slave to the charging stations, and the charging stations will eventually all be electronically tied to your social credit score, and they'll have energy lockdowns and climate lockdowns, and they will limit your charging. So, folks, if you buy an EV, you're basically just signing up to be a prisoner in your own vehicle, or a prisoner in a 15-minute city. Soon, you won't be allowed to travel outside the allowed range. And by the way, this is one of the issues upon which I disagree with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as well. He is strongly opposed to coal-fired power plants in the United States and around the world. And although I share his concern and care for the cleanliness of the environment, I want clean air and clean water, but we have something in America called clean coal. It's the cleanest coal, or among the cleanest in the world, and with the right scrubbing technology, the emissions from coal-fired power plants consist of hardly any particulate matter, a little bit of sulfur, almost no mercury. The emissions are very minor compared to the energy benefits that drive productivity in society. I think RFK Jr. wants to shut down coal in America, and that would be absolutely devastating to our economy, to food production, to transportation and shipping and storage. Remember that running food freezers requires electricity, and the most affordable form of electricity is, in fact, coal. Right now, that is, until we get to hot fusion or cold fusion, either one. But it's years away from being scaled and applied in ways that would replace, you know, the power grid, for example. So Alex Epstein on Twitter, and that's his username, Alex Epstein, he says, quote, "A global transition away from oil, gas, and coal would not only harm U.S. economic development, but also inflict harm on the poorest nations." He's an energy policy commentator. He says, "Fossil fuels are so uniquely good at providing low-cost, reliable energy for developing nations that even nations with little or no fossil fuel resources have used fossil fuels to develop and prosper, such as South Korea, Japan, and Singapore." Yeah, that's absolutely true. See, what we all need to understand about fossil fuels is that it scales based on demand. So where solar, of course, only produces energy when the sun is shining, which is less than half the time because of rain and clouds and storms and nighttime, well, coal can be scaled up at any time. If you have a really cold winter night and more people are turning on space heaters, let's say, or just running electric furnaces, and there's higher energy demand at, you know, 11 p.m., well, your coal-fired power plants can just burn more coal. They have a giant pile of coal sitting there, which is stored energy. They burn more coal. They heat the water. The water drives the turbines. The turbines generate electricity. The power grid stays up, and people get heat in their homes. Whereas if you're relying on solar energy, you only get that energy when the sun shines, and you can't scale it based on demand. Same thing is true for wind. You only get wind energy when the wind is blowing, and when the wind stops blowing, you're out of luck. What if you need energy when the wind stops blowing? Not much you can do. And on the Texas power grid, for example, I'm just familiar with Texas because that's where I live, but you have this combination of fossil fuels, solar, and wind. And when the wind stops blowing, fossil fuels is what steps in and covers for the loss of wind power. Same thing is true when the sun isn't shining. Fossil fuels are what make up for that. But what happens when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow and it's cold? Well, then you get blackouts, which is what happened in February of 2021 in Texas when the power grid went down. That's because it got really cold and the wind turbines froze up. And it also got so cold that some of the power plants, their liquid handling infrastructure froze up, broke down, and they went offline. And, you know, we were in a really bad situation, rolling blackouts. I lived through that. And it was a very difficult week. We had 8 minutes of electricity every half hour. And it was 5 degrees outside Fahrenheit, which is very, very cold for Central Texas. And all the pipes froze. But if we had had more coal-fired power plants, especially if they were properly winterized, then we could have compensated for that. We would just burn more coal. The point is, if you want affordable food and a thriving economy, you have to have affordable energy. And the best sources of affordable energy are currently fossil fuels. Now, it won't be that way forever. There will be advances in fusion, both hot fusion and cold fusion, that will make oil obsolete at some point, probably decades away. In the meantime, fossil fuels deliver scalable, on-demand, affordable energy that drives economies and also drives farming. You know, you can't farm without diesel fuel. That's what powers all the tractors and transportation trucks and barges and everything else. It's all diesel. Without diesel, you can't produce food. So, the climate lunatics, they're at war with food. They're at war with humanity. They're at war with plants. They want to reduce carbon dioxide and reduce photosynthesis. They want to see the planet be a cold desert that is lifeless, which is exactly what would happen if they suck all the CO2 out of the atmosphere. Think about it. They want planet Earth to consist of lifeless, freezing deserts. And then they would cheer all the ice. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Look, we have so much ice now. Isn't it wonderful? The oceans have gone down. They've dropped lower and lower. And all the fish have died because they don't have any habitat. But we love ice. Look, the rainforests have receded. And where there were once rainforests, now that's frozen too. Yay, they would say. We have achieved success in our climate agenda. Finally, Earth is frozen, which is what they want. Finally, they're insane. I mean, they're part of a suicide cult. To commit suicide on a planetary scale, that's what the climate cult really is. It is a suicide cult. Now, this suicide cult is also a geopolitical suicide pact among Western nations. Here's a headline from the Epoch Times. Communist China is using climate to subvert the United States. Analyst. China has gotten the United States hooked on green technology, which Beijing dominates. So China itself runs on fossil fuels. They're building a new coal plant practically every day. Why? Because it's cheap energy and they have to power their factories. But China pushes the West, both the United States as well as Western European countries, to use, quote, green energy. And then that green energy depends on manufacturing of products from China. So not only does pushing green energy cause the economies of Western nations to become very fragile and to reduce their economic growth, it also allows China to export more products that are used by the green energy industry, such as components for wind turbines and batteries and inverters and charge controllers, as well as solar components, lots of solar. So here we are in the United States. Instead of using the energy that we have domestically, which we were using under the Trump administration, by the way, but Biden shut that down on his first rigged day in office as the stolen election placeholder president. He shut down fossil fuels, and that made us more vulnerable to the Middle East and also to China. So this is also a national suicide pact for the United States. We should be depending on our own domestic energy resources, and then we wouldn't be beholden to Israel or the UAE or Saudi Arabia or exports from Qatar, for example. We would be able to power our own economy domestically very efficiently, cost effectively, in a way that achieves domestic prosperity. But of course, the powers that be, the people in charge and the puppets they control, such as Joe Biden, they don't want America to prosper. They want to see America destroyed because they're running an anti-human agenda. So it all goes together, folks. Understand, the climate agenda, the vaccine push, the psychological operations, and the rise of AI, which I've talked about recently. Understand, this all goes together because AI systems will take over about 50% of the human workforce in most likely 5 years, give or take. I've offered a few different predictions on that, but I'm guessing within 5 years, 50% of the white-collar jobs are obsolete because of software AI agents. And then 50% of the labor jobs are obsolete because of course, humanoid robots powered by AI brains. And the globalists know this. They know that 50% of human beings will be unemployable within 5 years, maybe 5 to 10 if you think it's going to take longer, but you know, in the very near future, it's just a few years away, however many years that is, but half the human labor force will be obsolete. So what are you going to do with all those people if you're the globalists? Well, they're going to figure out how to get rid of all those people. That's the answer. And they're getting rid of people with famine, with war, and with pandemics, and injecting people with biological weapons, locking people down. They're going to have climate lockdowns, and they're going to starve people to death. They're going to have people killed through exposure because they're homeless. They're going to have wars. They're going to have terrorism. They're going to have lawlessness. So this is all by design. And you know this. You've been listening for a while probably, so this isn't new to you. But it is interesting how it all ties together. And it's all the same people too, isn't it? All the same people, the John Kerrys of the world, you know, the Klaus Schwabs, the Bill Gates. It's all the same people pushing abortion, which is depopulation, vaccines, depopulation, climate cultism, also about depopulation. And then, of course, CBDCs, central bank digital currencies, so they can control and surveil your finances, which is another form of enslaving people so they can more easily exterminate everybody and limit what you're allowed to purchase or how you're allowed to travel. It's all tied together. This is actually all one big agenda. It's not a separate climate agenda or a separate pandemic agenda or a separate, you know, debt collapse agenda. It's all one agenda. It's a depopulation agenda. And even the terraforming operations, the geoengineering, the weather control, the stratospheric aerosol injections that are being run on our planet right now to block the sun in order to shut down photosynthesis. This is all part of one agenda. It's an anti-human extermination agenda to make way for the rise of the robots and the rise of AI. That's what's planned to take over the world. About 4 billion human beings will be obsolete over the next few years, and the globalists need a convenient way to get rid of them. There was a really great headline over at allnewspipeline.com, which had reposted an article by James Howard Kunstler. And Kunstler is a really fantastic author, by the way, always worth reading. But here's the headline that All News Pipeline wrote, quote, "How Bidenomics and climate change activism are killing the trucking industry, destroying the supply chain, and increasing dysfunction in all of the systems serving Americans daily." And then a subhead says, "How long until famished Americans start eating each other to survive?" Right? So the cannibalism question. And in that article, he writes, "All the systems that move stuff around this big country are wobbling. Many trucking and logistics companies went out of business in 2023, led by Convoy's bankruptcy in October due to a, quote, unprecedented freight market collapse, end quote, and inability to get financing. UPS has not recovered from the big drop in shipping that followed the end of COVID lockdowns. 1.2 million packages per day in lost volume. Nor adjusted to its new contract with the Teamsters Union, a 46% cost increase for drivers in the first year. And it goes on. It talks about how deliveries aren't happening, the carriers are in trouble, the U.S. mail is collapsing. And then you get down to the bottom line here about the economic collapse, and you do start to wonder, will people get so hungry that they will start to eat each other? Now, first of all, commenting on that as a food scientist, I would strongly recommend against eating other human beings just for the fact that they're heavily polluted with toxic substances, not to mention the moral and ethical considerations of why you might not want to be living in a society where you have to eat other people. But people are heavily contaminated with mercury and lead and cadmium. I mean, eating a cow is far more wholesome and healthful than eating a human being, just in terms of the toxic substances you're exposed to. You know, cows don't use perfume and deodorants and shampoos and laundry detergents and dryer sheets that are all loaded with toxic chemicals. At least not the cows that I've seen, just saying. But human beings slather all that garbage on their skin and their scalps every single day, and they're just loaded with cancer-causing chemicals. So if you are starving, try to find a cow instead of a person to eat. Don't have human jerky is my point. Well, hopefully it won't come to that. And this is also a good reason to store a backup food supply. That could be a slogan, you know, get our storable food so you don't have to eat your neighbors. Something like that. That would be a nice, effective slogan. But, you know, preparedness is what gets us through all of this. Having your own food supply gets you through mass starvation or lockdowns of grocery stores, for example. Or having your own backup fuel supply can allow you to have a lot of transportation, especially if you have a combustion engine vehicle and you've got extra gasoline or diesel. I always prefer diesel vehicles because diesel is much safer to store, and it also lasts a lot longer, many years longer, by the way. And it's important to be ready for the collapse of the monetary system and the debt system. Oh, and that reminds me, you know, gold went up to $2,135 late Sunday night. It has since pulled back a lot since then. But the fact that it made that new high, it's just expanding the highs. I mean, gold keeps peaking up to higher and higher levels. And I see gold, especially as the situation in the Middle East becomes more catastrophic by the day, I see gold actually doing very well and functioning as a store of value. I promised you, by the way, that I would share something with you about my research into gold. I've been doing gold melting with the kiln and gold extractions and gravimetric weighing and ICP-MS testing and so on. So I'm just going to share with you actually a link tonight where you can go take a look at what I've been working on if you want. And this involves the form of gold known as goldbacks. And goldbacks are these beautiful bill-sized flat objects that, I don't know what the right term is, but there's actual physical gold embedded in them, and they have these gorgeous designs. The gold is embedded through these laminated layers of a polymer. And I interviewed the founder of the goldback company several months ago, and a lot of people really love the concept of goldbacks because you can use these different denominations of goldbacks knowing that they have actual gold in them. So a one goldback, which is indicated with the number one, has 1/1000th of an ounce of gold in it. And a 10 has 10/1000th of an ounce and so on. And they've got 5s, 10s, 25s, and 50s. And the 50 is a larger goldback, and it's pretty thick and it's pretty heavy. And it has 51/1000th of an ounce of gold in it. So a lot of people express a lot of interest in that. And many people ask me the question, Hey, Mike, how do you know for sure that the gold that's claimed to be in these is actually in them? And so I decided to actually spend several months doing the testing. My results are now published online at a website that I set up for this called verifiedgoldbacks.com. It's just like it sounds. You just go into your browser, type it at the top in the address bar, verifiedgoldbacks, that's plural, verifiedgoldbacks.com. And that site shows all the test results. You'll be amazed. I show all the photos, all the gold that I extracted, the melting procedure, the gold foil, the gravimetric weighing, and then the ICP-MS test, the gold composition testing, you know, in my food science lab. And then I also use an acid stone test. So I did three different types of scientific tests. And what I found is that the goldbacks actually contain more than 100% of the claimed amount of gold. They average between 102 and 104%. So if you go to that website, I'm going to talk about this more another day, but if you want to get some goldbacks, you can click on one of the buttons there, one of the buy buttons. You can order goldbacks. We do earn a small percentage of that at no additional cost to you. They pay us a small affiliate fee that helps support our platform and helps pay for all this testing that we did. And I am committed to retesting goldbacks on a regular basis, multiple times a year, using the same methods. So I'm going to be doing basically volunteer spot check quality control of the goldbacks to make sure they contain the claimed amount of gold. And as far as I know, I'm the only person doing this. It's just because I'm so fascinated by gold and there was so much interest in this format. You know me, I like to know what's in things. I like to know what's in food, how much mercury is in that food, how much lead is in that chocolate bar, right? How much lead is in the turmeric powder, or how much glyphosate is in these oats, for example. Well, I want to know how much gold is in the goldbacks. And so I did the test. And also, I should say this, I was a little bit concerned. I mean, I had a fear at first that as I did this, I might uncover evidence of massive criminal fraud. Because if I had found out that the goldbacks did not contain the claimed amount of gold, that would have been, you know, the biggest criminal fraud in the gold industry in many years, perhaps decades. I mean, if they only contain, let's say, half the amount of gold, or something like that. I mean, that would be a criminal fraud scam. But of course, those concerns were absurd. That's not what I found. I found that they contain over 100%. So that was really exciting to be able to confirm that. And it's so cool. I actually have in vials right now, I have the melted little BBs, little spherical balls of gold that came out of the goldbacks when you melt them down at 1,100 degrees Celsius. And then if you use the technique that I use with the kiln, you have to swirl the crucible around it and it collects all the gold into a gold ball. And then when the ball freezes, which happens at anything below 1,060 degrees Celsius, then it becomes like a little gold BB and you can weigh that and you can analyze that. And I have these little gold BBs now in vials. And in fact, I'll probably show you in the studio. I'll bring them to the studio one day and kind of show you what those are. It's really cool. It's actual, real, physical gold in these goldbacks. So anyway, the website is verifiedgoldbacks.com if you want to check it out. And I'll talk more about that later. And I'm going to have an interview with Jeremy, and we'll get into more details about what goldbacks really are. But if you just want to kind of see what I've been doing research on, that's the website. As a programming note, too, there are two things that are coming up. One is actually starting, I believe, today, which is called the Exit and Build Health Summit that's being put on by John Bush. And I was just interviewed by John Bush a couple of days ago in his studio, and it was a great interview. It was with him and Ryan, who works with him there, and we talked about eating meat versus veganism or vegetarianism, and we talked about, you know, terminated robots and AI systems and exploding squirrels and, you know, robot squirrels and all kinds of stuff. It was a great conversation. And it's part of this summit called Exit and Build Health Summit. If you want to sign up for that, our link is naturalnews.com naturalnews.com/exit and build. All one word, no spaces, no dashes, just naturalnews.com/exit and build. And that will forward you to the Live Free Academy with John Bush. And I believe that starts today and it runs for 5 or 6 days. And it has dozens of expert speakers on health. It's on, you know, food and food freedom and growing food and nutrition and all this stuff. So check that out. I think you'll really enjoy that. I think there is a fee to watch all of that. I don't know what that fee is, but the details are found on that webpage. And then if you want to watch Eastern Medicine for free, that begins this Saturday. And that's with Ty Bollinger and Charlene Bollinger, their program. Eastern Medicine, it offers a wealth of information on ancient systems of medicine, including traditional Chinese medicine and Japanese and Korean and Indian Ayurvedic medicine and so on. And that begins this Saturday at Brighteon University, which is brightu.com. You can register, watch it for free. There's a new episode that begins each day. And again, this Saturday, December 9th, is day one. So feel free to register for that. You can optionally purchase downloads if you wish. It's not required. There's no purchase required. But if you want to purchase the downloads, then those revenues help support Ty Bollinger and Charlene Bollinger, as well as some of that is shared with our platform to help fund our platform as well. So you use it for free or get the paid version. It's totally your choice, but just enjoy it, learn from it. You're really going to love it. Also, Owen Schroyer, the host at Infowars.com, he is scheduled to be released from federal prison this Friday, December 8th. And I don't know if that's an early release because I know he was sentenced to 60 days, but it doesn't feel like it's been 60 days. So I don't know. Maybe I've lost count, but Owen has been, they threw him in isolation for 30 days. I mean, it's a kind of a torture that they put him under. Remember, he did not enter the Capitol building. He only called for peace. He was at J6, but he was prosecuted by basically a judicial mob in D.C., and he didn't do anything wrong. He's basically prosecuted because of his speech. So he's going to be free this Friday, and I can't wait to get to talk to him and hear his analysis of what he just went through. I think Owen Schroyer will come out of this much stronger, and I'm going to reach out to him and see if I can get him on for an interview to talk about what that whole experience was like. But folks, you know you're living under tyranny when the regime in power attempts to criminalize and imprison all of the political opponents who are sounding off and telling the truth about the crimes of the regime itself. So Owen Schroyer will be free on Friday. Now, John Strand is not free this Friday. I think he's serving another year and a half or something like that. And we interviewed Mr. Strand before he went in. He was at J6. He did not do anything wrong. He's a former model, by the way. And I am sending prayers to him as well. If you go to his profile on Twitter, which is John Strand USA, the description is political prisoner sentenced to federal prison for being present on January 6th as a hired bodyguard for a doctor who had a permit to give a medical freedom speech. So he is a political prisoner. Oh, here it says he has a 32-month sentence. And he began serving that sentence at the end of July. And the court agreed that he was not violent. He did not damage property. He was respectful of Capitol Police. But he is a political prisoner. We must all call for freeing John Strand. And by the way, this is one reason to support Trump for the presidency in 2024, because Trump will, I believe, pardon these political prisoners who have been languishing in prison and the DC jail as political prisoners. And that is not okay. John Strand is innocent, just as Owen Schroyer is innocent. And so many others are innocent as well. And they need our support. So let us keep remembering them and saying their names, and go visit johnstrand.com if you want to learn more about his plight and ways to support him. And perhaps we can get him released before 32 months. Now, let me share with you an update on my interviews and podcasts and AI research. I had said last week that I felt like I didn't want to focus on doing interviews for a while until I get the large language model produced. That's the internal AI research that we're working on. We'll be releasing a free downloadable large language model, which is similar to ChatGPT, by the way. We'll be releasing that towards the end of March 2024. It'll be completely free. It'll be the world's first and no doubt the most comprehensive large language model based on natural medicine, herbs, indigenous medicine, you know, traditional Chinese medicine, disease prevention, phytochemicals, phytonutrients, and similar topics. It should also have a pretty good knowledge base in growing food and permaculture, sustainable agriculture, and things like that. So this is a really important project. I guess I would call it our moonshot. You know, the term moonshot means a really big project that can help change the world for the better. And typically it's a daring type of project, and it's one that is just a gift to the world. And that's what this is. This is our moonshot. We're going to produce this language model, release it for free, and help bring education and knowledge to many, many millions of people all around the world with this project. And it is absolutely critical that I focus on this research, which is requiring me to do quite a lot of learning about fine-tuning language models, Python programming, statistical analysis, data shaping, data extraction, data formatting, things like that. So it is actually taking a lot of time. But I've decided I'm not going to stop the interviews. I'm just going to reduce them. So I'll probably be doing two fewer interviews per week from here forward, at least until the first language model gets released next year. And at that point, I might be able to resume more interviews. But I did just want to give you a heads up. I won't have an interview for you every single day for this reason. But still, probably, let's say, four interviews a week would be typical. Instead of the six or more that I usually do. Just want to give you a heads up on that. Understand that it is really critical for us to release this language model in order to push back against the extreme pharmaceutical bias and woke bias of the big corporations that are currently releasing language models that will be driving everything that you interact with for years to come in medicine, government, customer service, corporations, you name it, education. And I am absolutely confident, 100% certainty, that we can create, just by ourselves, a language model that is more accurate than ChatGPT, even better than ChatGPT-4. On questions that the corporations don't want to answer. For example, you know, wokeism and vaccines or gender or natural medicine, disease prevention, nutrition, and so on. There is no question whatsoever that our model will outproduce ChatGPT because those subjects are essentially in ways distorted or banned or sort of partially blacklisted from the ChatGPT model. So we can produce a superior language model even though we have a tiny fraction of the resources of OpenAI or Facebook Meta or Microsoft or Google or, and so on, because we have humanity on our side and we have you supporting us and we're on team humanity. You know, we have the truth on our side. We have God on our side. And I know some of you believe that AI is demonic, but wouldn't it be awesome if with God's help, we were able to exorcise the demons out of AI and make AI work for we the people? Because that's exactly what I intend to do. And again, I have 100% confidence we can produce a superior language model system. We can release it for free. People can use it offline with no internet connection. And it's completely non-commercial. We can do this in just a few months. So I'm really focusing on that project, a lot of my time and expertise. And I do have to say, I may be the only person in this entire industry who is qualified to even produce this. you know, given my background in software, I used to run and own a software company, and my background in data structures, and then my passion for natural health and herbs and nutrition and sustainable agriculture and clean food and all of that. I don't know of anybody else that has that combination that could actually see this project follow through to produce an end product. So for whatever reason, with your support and with God's divine blessing, I've been put in this role to do this, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to get this done, even if it means cutting back on interviews or cutting back on stories and things like that. However, I have been posting more stories or articles on naturalnews.com because I'm posting the AI-generated summaries of my podcasts and also AI-generated transcripts of my interviews. And so I'm getting a lot of content posted there. I'm doing some cleanup of it. The AI transcription isn't perfect, but it's very, very close. For example, if you go to Natural News right now and you look at my interview with Dennis Kucinich, which I posted last night, you'll see that the transcription is very, very good. The AI transcription system had trouble with the name Kucinich. It did not know what that meant or how to spell it. It also had difficulty with, you know, .com URLs. So when we were giving out the URL act.kucinich.com, the transcription engine had no idea what to do with that, and I had to go back and fix all that manually. So, you know, AI transcription has difficulty with names and URLs and things like that. But for the most part, it got everything right. It was almost spooky good at it. So I'm taking advantage of that to get you transcripts of important interviews, to get you summaries of the podcasts that I do and the audio special reports and even the Brighton broadcast, so that if you don't have time to listen to a special report that I've done, like an HRR report, because I produce a lot of those, well, you can just go to naturalnews.com and you can just see the summary for it. And you could maybe just speed read through the summary in 2 minutes instead of listening to a 20-minute podcast, for example. So my goal is to give you this information in many different formats. In fact, I think it would be really awesome if I could have an AI system generate an image based on the summary. You know, just like feed it the summary and say, produce an image inspired by this summary and just see what it comes up with. That would be really pretty wild. Like multimodal summaries. Like you can listen to the podcast, or you can read the summary of the podcast, or you can just look at this comic book image version, which kind of contains the theme of the podcast. Either way. But anyway, I am using AI tools to try to bring you more different ways to interact with the content. And I'm also pursuing this AI project with my team. And we are spending tons of money on hardware in order to get this done. Did you know that the NVIDIA GPU cards, the video cards that are necessary to do this, that they list at about $15,000 each? So imagine having a Windows PC. Well, actually, most of this work is done on Linux using Ubuntu as the operating system. But just imagine if you had a Windows PC, and you know how you have a video graphics card in your computer? You pop open the lid and there's a card in there. Imagine if you had to spend $15,000 for one card, and then you needed multiple cards to run the AI language model training, because that's the reality. So 15 grand per card, and you need multiple cards. So that's why not everybody's doing this. I mean, that's one reason why. You also have to have a large amount of training data, which not everybody has. So it's a complex thing to get this done. But I am determined to do it. So thank you for your support. I can't wait to get this released to you early next year. If you wish to support us, by the way, just shop at healthrangerstore.com. And you can find their lab-tested nutritional products, supplements, superfoods, clean foods, storable foods, even freeze-dried organic lab-tested foods in number 10 cans, which have a very long shelf life, personal care products, home care products, you know, home and garden, so much more. Shop there, and you'll help support us. And we're going to be making a big grant to our nonprofit, the Consumer Wellness Center, which will actually use that grant money to produce the language model that will be released for free. So to the extent that you support us, we're going to pay it back to you and the rest of the world, you know, a million times over with this language model. We're going to put so much knowledge at people's fingertips. It's going to be mind-blowing. It'll be amazing. You'll be able to do things like, let's say you're gardening and you're having a question like, I don't know, why do my pumpkin plants keep dying or something? Or maybe you're trying to diagnose something like there's, you know, white spots or yellow spots on the leaves of a plant. Well, you can ask the system. You just type it in. You just say, hey, what are the top five reasons for white spots on the leaves of my zucchini plants? ? You enter that and it'll come up with answers based on its knowledge base, and it'll give you the answers. And then you can use that for research and you can use it for problem solving. It's a great starting point for all kinds of questions about everything from healing foods and nutrients to gardening, permaculture, and even things about, you know, self-tech support, like, you know, my Windows software keeps rebooting. How do I solve that problem? Because the language model has a lot of knowledge about a lot of areas. Or how do I change a flat tire on my car? You know, you'll be able to ask it a lot of things. And the answers won't always be correct. It's not 100% correct. No language model is, but you'll be surprised at how good it is. Like, I was just testing a pilot version the other day, and I was asking it, you know, what are the top health uses for zinc? And it would just give me all this breakdown of zinc, and, you know, anti-inflammatory, accelerated wound healing, accelerated, you know, skin healing, but also halting the replication of viruses and so on. It's pretty amazing. So I really can't wait to get this tool into your hands. Okay, today's interview is with Brian Festa and Taryn Gregson. And Taryn Gregson is the creator of the new movie called Shot Dead, which is about vaccines. And it involves a lot of parents who sadly lost their children after they were injected with the COVID vaccines. These COVID vaccines are killing millions of people all over the world. It is a depopulation agenda. The COVID vaccines are biological weapons. And Brian Festa is from WeThePatriotsUSA.org. I know many of you know that organization and have supported them. And Brian Festa and his legal team have been doing amazing work on the legal front to fight for your health freedom and your speech freedom and even Second Amendment freedom, by the way. And Taryn Gregson has a show there with We the Patriots USA. It's a podcast. And she also then produced this movie. And this movie is it's a hard-hitting movie. Pretty amazing stuff. So check it out. I think you'll enjoy this interview. And I'll be back with you tomorrow with another update. Until then, enjoy the interview. Oh, and be sure to sign up at brightu.com for the event beginning this Saturday. It's called Eastern Medicine. Ty and Charlene Bollinger put that together. Don't miss that one. Welcome to today's interview on brightion.com. I'm Mike Adams. Thank you for joining me today. We've got two great guests. We have Taryn Gregson, who is the producer of a fantastic new film called Shot Dead, which of course is about vaccines. It's at shotdead.org. And we also have Brian Festa of We the Patriots USA that is behind the film. And there's also a podcast you'll learn about here today as well. So this is going to be a great interview. Welcome to the show, Taryn and Brian. It's great to have you both on.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, so let's start with Taryn. I mean, we've talked with Brian several times, so we'll get to you in a second, Brian, if you're okay with that. Let's talk to Taryn here about the film. Something that is making waves out there, waking up people, opening eyes. Tell us about the film Shot Dead, please.
Thank you. Yes, we've gotten wonderful reviews about the film, and we say so humbly because it's a really an unfortunate subject matter that we had no choice but to do this and to cover this and to tell these stories of these families. After, you know, I teamed up with We the Patriots USA, who helps to back my podcast and is a nonprofit public litigation firm. They said, we need to do a documentary about these COVID shots that have killed so many people. And they, the mainstream media, the government, big pharma, everyone's trying to sweep this under the rug. As I started to dig in and and find possible people to be a part of our film, I realized we had to, and we all realized collectively, we had to focus on parents. There are so many parents that have lost their children to these shots, moms that have lost their babies, given birth or miscarriages, one or the other. And so we have to talk about this because not only our children are future and who we need to be fighting for and standing up for, but they also show that these shots are killing people. If healthy children are dying days after getting these shots, it is so hard to ignore the facts then that are right in front of us. If you talk about adults, yes, people can sit there and maybe discuss and talk about possible comorbidities and other things that other health baggage that adults carry, but it's very hard to talk about that in regards to babies and children. And so we knew we had to focus on this, especially because ACIP voted unanimously to put the COVID shot on the recommended childhood vaccine schedule. They've already been coming up with more mRNA shots for pregnant women, the new RSV shot. They're trying to continue to do this.
Hold on a second.
We have to stick up for the kids.
Absolutely, Taryn. Let me jump in with a couple of questions here. Everything you said is right on track, but I need to back up. I mean, number one, the risk that children faced from COVID was almost nothing. And so the whole idea that you need to vaccinate children with this seems to be rooted in just propaganda, not anything that is legitimate science. I'd like to get your response to that. But even more importantly, these vaccines have still never been subjected to rigorous long-term clinical trials. So how on earth could they be added to the childhood vaccination schedule when they completely lack long-term clinical trials, you know, randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trials? It seems like we're using our children as guinea pigs for death experiments.
I think that you hit the nail on the head there, and I think it really exposes the fact that safety has been pushed to the wayside for many, many years in regards to the childhood vaccination schedule. ACIP voted unanimously to put this shot on the schedule, as pointed out by Dr. Peter McCullough, who is in our film, Shot Dead. And, the RSV shot used to be that pregnant women were excluded from clinical trials. They were excluded from the clinical trials in these COVID shot trials with an air quotes. And that's been thrown to the wayside. And in just a few months, this new one is put on the schedule. I think parents are really starting to wonder about all of them because safety was thrown out the window for COVID,
yes,
voted unanimously. What about the ones prior? What about the ones in the future? And it is wrapped up in propaganda, as you state. We had 18-year-old Trista Martin, whose parents are featured in this film. She would be 19 years old at this point. We debuted the film on November 9th, the one-year anniversary of her death. She was an adult. She was an 18-year-old adult by the legal definition. So she was able to go get her own general practitioner and opt to get the shot on her own. She consented to that without her parents' knowledge. Talk about propaganda. She did so because of all of the messaging that was being just bombarded on our nation's youth, because she wanted to go off to college and colleges everywhere were requiring the shot. She wanted to go do fun things with her friends, like concerts where you couldn't get into concert venues without getting the shot.
Right.
The propaganda ended up being deadly for her.
All right. The film website is shotdead.org. It's free to watch. Now let's bring in Brian Festa. Now Brian, just with a quick introduction here, our audience loves you and your organization and your work. In fact, We the Patriots USA is the number one most highly recommended group among our followers and listeners. And they're so thrilled every time that I have you on. And I know they support your organization. So thank you for joining us. Tell us about your involvement with the film and the funding and support, the whole story.
Well, I just, first of all, I want to say thank you to all of your listeners, your followers, supporters that have supported us, because you're in the opening credits, ladies and gentlemen. If you watch the opening and closing credits, actually, you will see, made possible by the We the Patriots USA donors. So anyone that donates to us was given credit there. I wish we could have listed all of your names, but the movie would have been much longer than an hour and 8 minutes. It's a very easy watch, but as far as time goes, it is not an easy watch as far as the content. It's probably one of the hardest things you'll see, but everybody needs to see it. We got involved because, like Taryn said, we realized we needed a film about the very real fallout, the very real human cost of these shots. Other films have been made. There's great films out there. You know about Died Suddenly. Epoch Times has one too, I think, called The Unseen Crisis. Excellent films. But we want to do something a little bit different. We wanted to focus in on the families and the parents. We go into their homes in this film. We go into their children's, you know, or Trista's bedroom, for instance. Taryn just mentioned Trista Martin, who lost her life at the age of 18. We go to the grave sites. We sit in the living rooms with the parents. That's something that we haven't really seen before. That's something that's been covered up, that there are real people that have lost children, not just statistics, not just maybe a news article or an obituary that people are sharing online saying, oh, this person died suddenly, maybe it was the shot. No, these parents are stepping forward and they're brave enough to say it was the shot. They're brave enough to say that Pfizer killed their children. And, you know, this is something that we wanted to be chronicled. We wanted this to be preserved in history so that it doesn't happen again. And so that's why we felt it was a good investment to put our money behind it. It has not been a financial gain for us in terms of dollars and cents, but the point was getting the message out, having these stories told, chronicled, and recorded, preserved in history. And so we have a beautiful film. Taryn, and also I want to give a shout out to Jason and Avery Kabrick, who did the film work and the editing work. Much of the editing work was done by Avery Kabrick, and they just did an incredible job. You know, Taryn, you know, Jason and Avery were connected to Taryn through her time at the PGA Tour. You may know her backstory. Taryn actually is a client of ours who came to us after she lost her job with the PGA Tour. She was a broadcaster and lost her job because of the COVID mandates. And we still have litigation ongoing on her behalf, but that's how she came to us. And Jason also worked for the PGA Tour and was let go because of the mandates and because of his religious objection to the shots, you know. And, you know, Taryn, she had an objection to the shots and the masking and testing as well. So we were brought to this through COVID, through the just insanity that we were all living through. We were brought together. And so God has brought something good out of something very, very bad. But, you know, I do want to say, Mike, what really sort of fires me up, one of the things that everything fires me up, one of the things that fires me up more than anything is when people say, it's all over. COVID's over. Forget about it. Why are you guys still talking about it? Why are you guys still putting this content out there? We've moved beyond COVID. Just forget about it. Well, guess what? Guess who hasn't moved beyond? Guess who it's not over for? Alan and Taylor Martin, Trista's parents. Tori White, who is Naomi White's mother, who lost her child just 11 hours after birth. Ernest Ramirez, who lost Ernesto Ramirez Jr. just 5 days after he received Pfizer shot. They're all featured in our film. They haven't moved on, Mike. This isn't over for them. They're going to live with this for the rest of their lives. They're going to live with that void, with that hole for the rest of their lives.
Well, absolutely. And the fact that these shots are continuing to be given and now added to the childhood immunization schedule, and there's talk of them being added to annual flu shots. So this mRNA technology and these shots that are, of course, contaminated with both DNA and RNA fragments, this is going to continue to harm people for as long as they are injected into people. But I have to ask both of you this question, and I guess I'll redirect it back to Taryn, but surely the people in this industry, the medical scientists, the CEOs, they know that this is killing people. They have to know because they're not low IQ people, but they're deliberately lying about it or covering it up. The medical journals, the government agencies, the CDC, and so on. In your view, based on the fact of all the parents you spoke with and producing this movie, in your assessment, what could possibly motivate these probably wealthy, successful people in the industry of medicine and science to cover up something that is killing, by some estimates now, 20 million people around the world and counting?
Taryn?
I would say that it's money, money, money. And that's a line used by Jeff White, the grandfather of Naomi White, in the movie. And we uncovered that money trail because it was important for us to cut to the core of why these people, why these families, these mothers, these parents were subject to this propaganda and were subject to being victims of this, entire scheme. So yes, this is a movie primarily about the humanity, but we needed to show why the human side of these people decided to go get this shot or were forced to get this shot. And, you know, Dr. Thorpe is an OBGYN. He's featured in this film. He talks about the $13 billion that were shelled out by the HHS for the COVID community corps and how those, like the American College of OBGYNs, took millions of dollars in grant money that was tied to stipulations that meant that they had to follow specific verbiage handed down by the government when talking to their patients about these COVID shots. And they did all of this. The timeline is so key. They did all of this months and months and months after we had that initial data from Pfizer of the first 90 days of rollout, where we knew that, you know, thousands of people died in that first 90 days of just a few thousand that Pfizer followed in their first 90 days. And of the pregnant women that they followed in the study, they had a little over 270 pregnant women that they followed. They only followed up with about 32 of those pregnant women. And of those 32 pregnant women, 25 of them had miscarriages and several of them had stillbirths. So we know, like you said, Mike, that they know about the death and destruction that was taking place. And yet they pushed forward with all of this money that they were circling around to the government, various organizations. And, you know, it's money, but it's also a larger push for messaging, for underlying narratives that they would like to push. It's a spiritual battle for sure, no question about it. And these families were subject to that. And we show the very real suffering that they go through and the very real, propaganda and manipulation that they experience due to the hand of greed. And greed begets greed. These people, once you get a lot of money, once you have a lot of power, you just want more.
Now, you mentioned...
Yeah, and I'm going to take it a step...
Yeah, go ahead, Brian.
I'm going to take it a step further, if I can, Mike.
Please.
Maybe on certain programs, I'd be, a little more reserved about saying what I'm about to say, but I know your listeners aren't going to be shocked by it because you've talked about it too. I mean, there's a globalist depopulation agenda afoot. This is beyond money because the people at the top who are pushing this, at the WEF and the WHO and all of the people, and the globalist elite, they have more money than they have time to spend it, or that their great, great, great grandchildren will have time to spend it. That would not be an incentive to murder hundreds of millions of people worldwide just to get a few more dollars. The pharmaceutical industry posted earnings, $1.42 trillion in 2021. Would that be an incentive to get another, few billion or 100 billion even dollars? Would that be an incentive to kill people worldwide? No, there's got to be something else other than just money. There's, they want to reduce the world population. You know what was written on the Georgia Guidestones, 500 million. This is what they want. They're well on their way to doing it. You can call me crazy. You can discredit me now because I've made statements like that publicly now and in the past, but I don't really care because you can't prove to me that I'm wrong. You can't prove to me that anything I'm saying is incorrect. And in fact, I have a lot more proof that indicates that it's absolutely correct. And if you think, people wouldn't be so evil to do that, look at history. You're obviously not a student of history. I'm not talking to you, Mike. I'm talking to anyone who might be listening to this, criticizing what I'm saying. You're obviously not a student of history if you think there wouldn't be world leaders that would be evil enough to commit a mass genocide. And I'm not just talking about Hitler or Stalin. I mean, this is going back to the Roman Empire and even before that. Genocide has been on the list of world leaders for as long as humanity has been in existence.
Plus, because Brian, why? let me add to that. I agree with everything you're saying. Clearly, I agree there's a depopulation agenda underway. But the other part that's driving that, and I know this interview is not about the climate cultism that's out there, but it's a factor because the climate cult teaches everybody that humans are bad and that the only way to save the planet is to eliminate humans. It's almost like an equation, right? You know, carbon dioxide is a poison, they say, even though that's a lie. They say carbon dioxide is a poison. All humans produce carbon dioxide through their actions and energy consumption. Therefore, the only way to save the planet is to eliminate humans. I mean, that's Bill Gates. That's Bill Gates speaking publicly in a TED conference. So vaccines as death shots or shotdead.org for your film are a way for them to accomplish that goal of that is pushed by the climate agenda. I know. I mean, what are both of your thoughts about that?
To me, if I may, to me, the underlying factor in all of that, what you're talking about is the spiritual battle. What you're talking about there is demonic. Everything, you know, it's evil versus good. It's the light versus the darkness. It's those that value humanity and the sanctity of life and those that don't. And so to me, that's at the core of all of it. You know, a society and a worldview that has no qualms about poisoning or killing its children. I mean, it's just very demonic, all of it, no matter what agenda you're talking about, whether it's the climate agenda, whether it's the depopulation agenda, whatever, all of it is demonic. And, you know, we shouldn't be surprised. We've been poisoning our children for decades now with vaccines. We've been poisoning our children with Coca-Cola and other things for decades now.
And aborting babies.
And aborting babies. The sanctity of life is completely lost, and it has been for a long time. And talk about history, when the sanctity of life and children and not valuing children is thrown to the wayside, those societies fall.
Yeah, isn't it interesting, by the way, in the aftermath of Roe versus Wade getting overturned, that then so many states are now putting into their constitutions the legal right to murder unborn babies up to the day of birth. I mean, they went even further than anything that had existed before. Now they're like, well, we're going to kill them even maybe on the day of birth. You know, it's almost like there's this demonic outrage that they want to profess their desire to kill children in more circumstances than ever before. Your thoughts?
Have you seen recently the Instagram post that Cosmopolitan put out on how to have a satanic ritual before your abortion?
Yeah.
I mean,
unreal.
That just sums it up right there.
But this, you have a podcast called Faithful Freedom, right? Mm-hmm. Tell us about that, because that's with We the Patriots USA, correct?
Correct. Yes. All of these wonderful productions I owe to We the Patriots USA for helping to back this and helping to back my show, where we're talking about all these various topics. We're also talking about the various legal and ways that We the Patriots USA is fighting for justice, trying to preserve justice. So we do a balance of talking about the various cases that they're taking on, the various fights that We the Patriots is partaking in, and, you know, all these different stories of people that have been affected by COVID, those that are forging a new path forward to looking at how to live a clean life, you know, trying to get toxins out of your food, your products that you use, all these different things. We sort of come at all of this from a perspective of those that are faithfully pursuing freedom in whichever aspect that they're doing so in their lives. And so hopefully, you know, we can take things like Shot Dead that people can watch at shotdead.org, and we can seek justice through We the Patriots USA. But we can also seek justice in our own lives by forging a new path forward, educating ourselves on how to move forward since COVID, on how to take ownership of our family, of a new way of life, into breaking free from the system. Now that so many of us have had the veil pulled back for us,
yes.
Well, what do we do now?
Wow, very powerful. So just tell us where people can find your podcast.
Well, they can find my podcast and Shot Dead, the movie, at the We the Patriots USA Rumble channel and my show anywhere you listen to your podcasts.
Okay. And WeThePatriotsUSA.org, correct? Is that's it, Brian?
Right. And yeah, we also have a Brighteon channel, believe it or not. We are, are on there. And we're hoping that, that we can grow our followers there as well. But right now, I think, Taryn, we're up to, what are we up to on Shot Dead? I think it's almost 330,000 views or something like that. Last I checked, I think it was last night or early this morning that I checked. So it's really taking off. It would have been millions of views if YouTube hadn't banned us. We just actually released a statement yesterday about that, because YouTube did ban Shot Dead. Of course, they added another strike. They keep adding strikes. We put it up there anyway, and we appealed it anyway. But they said it was a violation of their medical misinformation policy and that they have to keep their community safe. How exactly is it keeping people and their viewers, their followers, safer by suppressing information that could save lives, by suppressing the stories of parents who lost children to the COVID shot? I don't see how that's exactly creating a safer community, but we expected that. It wasn't like that was a shock to us that YouTube banned this movie, but you know, it just shows that they're all on the same team. Like, you know, it's big tech, it's the mainstream media, it's the pharmaceutical industry, it's the government, the world government. I mean, they're all on the same team. And what I was talking about earlier, I mean, this is an agenda. You know, depopulation, what would be the purpose of it? People ask. Well, it's to control, because the smaller amount of people you have, you can control them. And that's another reason they want to take our right to defend ourselves away. So that's another thing we do at We the Patriots USA is, We have some Second Amendment litigation going on right now in Connecticut and in New Mexico. And you can look that up on our website at wethepatriotsusa.org. But that's vital.
Brian, I did want to ask you, thanks for bringing that up. I want to ask you, could you quickly summarize some of the legal victories that We the Patriots USA has achieved? Maybe some of the cases that are ongoing right now as well.
Yeah, I think I'm frozen on camera, but as long as you can still hear me.
Yeah, that's we good, can hear right? you. You are frozen on camera. So you can try turning your camera off and back on. That might work, but go ahead. We can hear you.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. But in the meantime, it's not letting me turn it on, but that's all right. As long as you can hear me, I'm going to keep talking. What I want to begin with is actually, as far as legal victories, is due in large part to your supporters who stepped forward with our medical kidnapping case in Missouri. So we had a case, there were parents, Paul and Amanda Guidry, you had them on with me on your show and back in August, and they lost their four children to the state of Missouri. They were placed in foster care simply because they were using chlorine dioxide. And we were able to get all four of those children back into the home. Praise be to God. And thanks also to your faithful listeners, viewers who supported us. So your money, when you donate to We the Patriots USA, we put that immediately into action. We helped a family. We got those children back home. The state signed an agreement that they would be permanently back in their children's, in Paul and Amanda's custody. So that agreement has now gone final. We are still pursuing to remove them from the child abuse registry, because unthinkably, they were placed on the child abuse registry simply for using an alternative treatment that you've talked about many times in your show. So that was a major victory. We got a temporary restraining order against Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham in New Mexico with her gun ban. She banned public carrying of weapons in public places and in sensitive places, including the city of
Albuquerque.
So anywhere there was a high crime rate, even though the U.S. Supreme Court has said you can't do that. So we were successful in getting that temporary restraining order. We are currently at the 10th Circuit on that case, because although they gave us the temporary restraining order, they didn't grant us the preliminary injunction to keep that in place all throughout our trial and litigation. So we did appeal that to the 10th Circuit, and we're there right now. We have a case about to be filed with the United States Supreme Court, what they call a cert petition. That's an appeal of our case that was dismissed at the Second Circuit for the Connecticut religious exemption repeal. Connecticut repealed its religious exemption to school vaccinations. This case, if granted, if the Supreme Court decides to hear our appeal, this will be the most important case in medical freedom in history, because it will have the potential of restoring religious exemptions everywhere in the United States for all children, even in states they've been lost, California, New York, Maine, and of course, Connecticut, that do not have exemptions, could have them restored with this, if we get this case heard and we get this victory. So follow that closely. We'll be releasing a major announcement when it's filed in about 2 weeks. It's going to be filed with the United States Supreme Court. And please pray for us and support us. Anything you can do to support us year-end donations now, folks. Everybody's thinking about their tax-deductible gifts because you need to make them before the 31st. We are a 501c3 nonprofit. You can make those donations at wethepatriotsusa.org. There's a donate button there, or you can even mail it to us. I know a lot of people, you know, they want to do it anonymously or through a donor-advised fund or, you know, a money order. That's fine. If you don't want to do it electronically, you can mail it to us. We have our mailing address right on our donate link on our page, as well as our tax ID number. You can do that, and we would greatly appreciate your support as we head into the end of the year.
Okay, that's wethepatriotsusa.org is the website, folks. And Brian, I want to ask you one more question, but keep the answer short. I want to get back to Taryn on this. But what about the recent case of the New York Supreme Court reinstating and reaffirming the power of the government of the state of New York to quarantine people, to take people out of their homes against their wishes and put them into essentially quarantine camps simply by claiming that they believe that somebody might be at risk of anything that they make up? What are your thoughts on that, Brian?
I'm not surprised. It is New York after all. I did see that. I was very sad and disappointed, of course, but I was not surprised. And unfortunately, most of these, you know, deep blue prison states, as I like to call them, do have statutes like that. Connecticut has a mandatory quarantine statute too. The commissioner of public health can quarantine people really if there's any kind of public health emergency or outbreak that they deem necessary for quarantining. It's sick.
Yeah, it is sick. And of course, you're hearing in the news now, you know, crazy new pandemics in China and now in Europe and other places. Taryn, back to you. So it seems like this film is perhaps the first of many. I'm just wondering, I mean, you've documented the story of these parents, but unfortunately, these deaths are going to continue because the propaganda continues, the coercion continues, even like we just talked about, the New York Supreme Court affirming the right to take people out of their homes. And they might say, well, you can stay in your home if you're vaccinated, but if you're unvaccinated, you're a danger to society, and therefore we're going to kidnap you and put you in a concentration camp. Maybe your next movie is Shot Dead in a New York Concentration Camp.org. I mean, who knows? Your comments.
We have just received an outpouring of people who have been sharing their stories with us, whether they were killed by the shot, whether they were killed in hospitals for the COVID hospital protocol. We've also been getting a lot of parents reaching out to us, and Brian can attest to this too, needing our help, of their children being medically kidnapped from them in hospitals. And, you know, I just had a woman on my show that her daughter, they took her into the emergency room, and she was swiftly enrolled into a, quote, case study, where she ended up getting very, very sick and 10 times worse than when she walked into the ER. And her parents had to fight legally to get her pulled out of the hospital. And once she was, she finally recovered and is now a healthy little child who now is very emotionally, you know, she's 4 years old, emotionally damaged. She is scared of people, scared of those that approach her because of her experience in the hospital. We are just getting an outpouring of people who just want their stories to be heard, who want people to understand how their family members were hurt, injured, or killed, whether it's by COVID, whether it's by the medical industrial complex, you name it. It's just really unfortunate that there is an infinite amount of stories out there. And like you said, it's all surrounding just this bigger demonic, you know, agenda that's taking place. And, you know, Brian, I too wanted to point out that at shotdead.org and wethepatriotsusa.org, people can donate too. They're trying to raise money for a litigation fund to go up against Pfizer now that we know that these shots were adulterated due to Steve Kirsch and his team putting that information out there. We're wanting to represent and have Ernest Ramirez and the Martins as plaintiffs in a We the Patriots USA case. They need to raise money. It's got to be fully funded by the donors. And we need to hold these companies accountable, because that is part of how the truth is going to get out. And the truth is really our biggest weapon.
Yeah, exactly. And censorship is one of the biggest weapons of the establishment trying to stop people from this. As you mentioned earlier, Brian, the film being censored off of YouTube. Of course, you are welcome to upload Shot Dead to Brighteon. We'd love to keep it there.
And we have it there.
Oh, you have it there right now. Okay, fantastic.
Yep.
So One other question I have for you is, do you have a transcript of the entire film yet?
I don't think so, Taryn.
We do not have a transcript yet of the entire film. That's something that we have a very small team. We did this in 6 months.
No worries.
Three filmmakers and a small crew of We the Patriots USA. But it's important that you ask that because we are working on it. They do want to translate it into Spanish subtitles as well.
Okay.
But people right now can go to my podcast, Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, on We the Patriots USA, wherever you listen to your podcast. And you can hear each individual interview with the parents and the doctors and nurse whistleblower Michelle Gershman in their entirety in individual episodes of my podcast. So people can hear, it's so powerful to see them all woven together in the story at shotdead.org for the film that's free on demand. But it's really powerful to hear them individually. So much gets, you know, tossed on the cutting room floor. You can hear the whole interviews right now Faithful Freedom.
I tell you what, if you'll give me permission, I am happy we can produce the transcript. Just we have some very good AI tools for the transcript. And also there are good tools for translation as well. And there are also tools that exist right now to automatically add subtitles that actually do the transcription and add subtitles for you and produce another video output. But I want to ask you for permission because we are building an AI chatbot large language model that we're going to release first quarter of next year for free to the public, open source, downloadable chatbot, kind of like ChatGPT. But we are training it with information about nutrition and natural health and disease prevention and so on. And with your permission, we would like to include the transcript of this film into that training module, and we would credit We the Patriots USA. So give that some consideration if you'd like to give me permission.
Well, I'm not going to give it any consideration. I'm going to say yes.
Okay. Right.
Thank you so much. I was just about to cut in there before you jumped in, but I'm glad you did jump in, Mike, because I was going to put a call out for volunteers. I'm still going to put a call out for volunteers for other things I'm going to mention in just a second, but I was going to ask if anybody has experience with creating transcripts or anything, could volunteer their time, but you just volunteered your services. So I thank you so much. And yes, we'd definitely like to accept that offer. We really, really appreciate that. God bless you. If anyone else has any kind of, anyone listening has any experience with social media, with graphics, with things like that, we really need help with that. That's one thing that our team is lacking to defeat the censorship. It's absolutely necessary nowadays. We have, like I said, we have over 330,000 views on this movie on Rumble. But if we were able to get this really, get the word out the way that we need to, and package the content and make clips and things like that, this thing would probably be well over 1 million already views. So we do need help with that. And if anyone wants to join our team, unfortunately, we can't hire you at this time, but as a volunteer even, just to start and try to help us out and try to grow our base.
Can you just give out an email address right now so people could reach you?
Yes, I forgot about that. Thank you. It is info at wethepatriotsusa.org. That's our general inbox. If you want to contact me directly, it's Brian, Brian, at wethepatriotsusa.org. That's my direct email, but either of those inboxes, I will see it because I monitor them daily.
Okay, fantastic. Taryn, do you want to add to that? You want to give out any contact info?
Yes, people can reach me on social media, on Twitter and on Instagram, primarily at Taryn Gregson. And you can also email me, Taryn at wethepatriotsusa.org.
Okay, and that's T-E-R-Y-N, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fantastic. And all I'm going to need from you in order to do what I just promised there is the original high resolution film file. So if you could just get
we
me that,
do that
on
we
Dropbox
have it in
or wherever.
4K. You can
perfect.
Do it.
Mm-hmm. And then we can work with that and we can produce the transcript and we'll do a quality pass on it and pass through and clean it up. And then and that's really all you need to do these days is just run it through AI and then have a human go through and just fix anything that was awkward. And then once you fix it, kick it back into the AI translator and you can get the Espanol version pretty readily. And then there are a lot of tools out there that can do multiple languages. Of course, the quality of the translation is reduced the further away the language is from English. So like English to Chinese, you're going to lose a lot more than English to Spanish or English to German, for example. But anyway, just share that with you because
we appreciate it.
Good stuff to know for the future. But yeah, what I recommend is get the transcript of your film, and then you can start publishing combinations of snippets of the film with the text transcription of that snippet and a little introduction. And we would welcome you, we'd be happy to publish those on Natural News or of course snippets all over Brighteon. And I would retweet your tweets like this if you compiled like a little snippet and a little video clip. Those would be ideal for Twitter or X as it is.
No. Are you back on Twitter, Mike, or is it just, do you mean just the Brighteon?
No, I since Elon bought it, they did reactivate my personal account on Twitter, but I'm shadow banned there. However, I have much larger followings on Telegram and Brighteon.social and other platforms. And so I would take your tweet and I would repost it elsewhere as well.
All right, wonderful. Great.
Yeah.
That's good to know. If you want to give me the best handle to tag you, I mean, we could just tag you in our tweet.
Yeah. It's just at @HealthRanger.
Okay. All right. Awesome. I'll make sure that we do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Please do. I look forward to that. We're wrapping this up here. Is there anything else either of you would like to add before we wrap it up?
Taryn?
I would just really encourage people to share this, to share shotdead.org, text it to people, email it to people. As Brian said, we are being heavily censored online. So your grassroots efforts to share it are just so important. And let us know. Tell us how you feel about it, what you think about the film. It is just, many of these families that are featured in this film, they're on social media. Please reach out to them. Tell them that you're praying for them. Tell them that you see them. They don't feel acknowledged. They feel like they've been ignored. And they actually receive a lot of backlash on social media for speaking out about what happened to their children. So they need your encouragement and your support. And I also encourage everyone to watch to the very end, no matter how many Kleenexes you need to get through to the end, because we go beyond just the COVID shot. And I hope and pray that people open their eyes to all of the childhood vaccinations by the end of the film.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because the parents have been put through hell. Not only have, in many cases, they've lost their children, and then for telling the truth about what happened, they get victimized again by society that is brainwashed into a vaccine zealotry. I mean, it's horrible that this is happening. I mean, if children were dying from almost any other cause, there would be sympathy for the parents. But when children are killed by vaccines, there's condemnation of the parents. So it's like, if you're a parent and you give your children vaccines and they die, you're the bad guy. If you don't give your children vaccines, you're the bad guy. It's like, you can't win as a parent, except, I guess, just to stand with God and stand with the truth. That's how you win.
That is the only way to win. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely.
Exactly. These people, these keyboard warriors and whoever else on social media, they're not the ones we need to please.
Right.
They're not the ones we need to serve, and anytime because I'm in a variety of groups on social media, Telegram, and also still on Facebook. And I see the only reason I've stayed on Facebook, Mike, is I don't really use my personal account for much of anything. It's just there. But believe it or not, even our We the Patriots account is still there, but it's shadow banned so badly, like yours is, you can't even see anything. But anyway, I'm in a variety of groups where people died suddenly, and they post articles, and you'll see just the vitriol. And anytime a regular mainstream news article is posted and one of us comes out, meaning one of us who's red pilled, I guess you'd say, comes out and suggests that maybe it was the shot, you should see all of the people that pile on. How dare you bring that up? How dare you suggest that? And I responded.
Well, a lot of that's funded by pharma and the government.
Yeah.
And some of it's bots too. I mean, it's not real.
Well, I know some of it isn't, but some of them, there are people, because I used to live in Connecticut, remember, and Massachusetts. So yeah, there are, believe it or not, real people that talk that way. I've heard them talk that way out of their own mouths. So, and I finally responded to one of them. Usually I just scroll on. But I said, listen, it's worse, much, much worse not to say anything. How dare you say that we can't suggest it? That's saving lives. We're trying to save lives. consider for a moment that maybe these children really were killed by the shots, even if maybe not all of them were, that some of them were, why wouldn't you want us to share that information?
Yeah, the quote from the rabbi, indifference to evil is more insidious than evil itself. And that's what those people represent, indifference to evil. We must speak out against it. In any case, we're out of time here today. And I want to thank you both for joining me. This has been a really eye-opening discussion. I want to remind people the website is shotdead.org. Oh, yeah, it's just going to We the Patriots USA. And then...
Yeah, it redirects.
It redirects. Okay. And then, Taryn, I want to thank you, Taryn Gregson, everybody, and check out your podcast, which is Faith and Freedom?
Faithful Freedom with Taryn Gregson, and Faithful that's on Freedom. The We the Patriots USA. org and Rumble channel.
Okay, fantastic. And I want to thank you too, Brian Festa, for all of your work and for taking the time to join us today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you both. Take care now. All right, folks, fantastic interview, eye-opening, and they do need your support. They need you to help share the video, watch the video. You can also, of course, volunteer to help with promoting the video if that's something that resonates with you and your heart. So please reach out to WeThePatriotsUSA.org for more information about how you can help them achieve their mission to save and protect children from the murderous vaccine industry. And thank you for watching today. Of course, I'm Mike Adams of Brighteon.com, the free speech network, where we have uncensored interviews just like this one. And you can repost this interview on other platforms. Feel free to do so. Just give credit to We the Patriots USA. Thank you for watching today. God bless you all. Take care. Today's interview is brought to you by HealthRangerStore.com, where you can find, of course, lab-tested superfoods, nutritional supplements, personal care products, and more. And I got to show you what I have here today because we have a really strong silver-based product line. And if you look at what's on my desk here, we've got silver deodorant with baking soda, and it's kind of it's a cream. It's a really effective natural deodorant that's not made with any aluminum ingredients nor any artificial fragrances whatsoever. Just essential oils and baking soda and a form of magnesium and some other key ingredients, all in colloidal silver. And then we also have the silver gel right beside it, which is a first aid colloidal silver gel that is thickened with xanthan gum, and it uses 7 essential oils in that formula that are very good for your skin. It forms kind of a natural bandage layer when it dries. It's for, you know, minor cuts and scrapes and so on. And those essential oils have very particular properties that you'll have to maybe research yourself because it's very potent. But that's available right now at healthrangerstore.com. We also have colloidal silver mouthwash, and we have different flavor varieties. You see the rosemary there on the right. It's actually quite delicious, and rosemary contains rosmarinic acid, which has very particular beneficial properties for oral health as well. So check out all of these products and much more at healthrangerstore.com. If you go onto the website, you can see some of the amazing items that we have available here, hundreds of different items, including that you saw cold laser there, organic cocoa energized, groovy bee, organic vanilla powder. And see, we have number 10 cans of many types of freeze-dried products, storable food, certified organic, laboratory-tested, and much more. And importantly, every purchase at healthrangerstore.com helps support this platform so that we can continue to bring you informative interviews and the freedom to speak and the freedom to think. That's the most important of all. And also, you know, a side note is that I actually designed the electronics that are used with large silver plates to generate the colloidal silver that is used in most of these products. So that's Texas rainwater, actually. We capture the rainwater, and then we use a deionizer, and then we suspend these big silver plates in it. I mean, they're big plates. They're like, I don't know, 16 inches long. We suspend silver plates in it, and we attach it to the special electronics. And then through cycles of reverse polarization, it produces ionic silver, like actual silver ions, suspended in the otherwise mostly deionized water. Of course, it has to have a little bit of ionization in order to conduct the electricity between the plates. But we start with deionized water, and then we add some conductivity to it in order to do that. Sorry, I don't mean to geek out on you, but that's not something that we just buy from somebody else. We actually produce the colloidal silver ourselves using our own technology and our own Texas rainwater. And that's what's in most of those products there. So anyway, thank you for your support. Thank you for helping us bring you great interviews, great content, knowledge, wisdom, and preparedness information that can be life-saving for a large number of people. We appreciate your support. Thank you for watching on Brighteon, and thank you for shopping at healthrangerstore.com.